on today's Tech Help for Churches, 10 email newsletter mistakes to avoid. Hi, and welcome again to another episode of Tech Help for Churches. My name is, of course, Paul Allen Clifford, and I'm your host today, and I'd love for you to join the conversation. So head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact and leave me your questions, your comments, your snide remarks. Someone has already left a question since the last question and answer show, which that show records every Friday at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. UTC, now that we've had this time change, which I'm in favor of getting rid of altogether. Daylight savings time is just the way it should always be, so that in the fall and winter we can come home and have stuff to do, have the ability to do stuff outside. Even if it's cold, you can at least see to do it. That's when that show records. So I really hope that you will leave me a question or comment there. You'll also see, if you're watching the video, you'll see my Twitter handle underneath my face. That's Paul Allen Cliff, PaulAllanCliff. And I'd be happy for you to interact with me there as well. If you're more of a phone person, just head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact. There you'll find my voicemail number, 1-877-POD-ECHO, 1-877-763-3246. Or you can drop me a line on email, paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com. And we're going to talk more about email here in just a second. But first, I do want to remind you about my pastor's book. His book, What Life Are You Waiting For, is coming out just in a couple of weeks, and it's available for pre-order on Amazon.com. So head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/whatlifebook. I bet that you're going to hear a lot of stuff about this book coming up, just because it's already got some traction. It wouldn't surprise me if, because of all the pre-orders and everything, if we didn't see it as a New York Times best-selling book. I mean, I'm serious about that. So go over, pre-order your copy. That way you can get a copy as soon as the publisher gets done printing all of them and they ship to Amazon. Also, don't forget churchstreaming.tv. Churchstreaming.tv does provide the bandwidth for the techpodcast.com network. And, well, let me just say that last week I published an article on churchproduction.com all about the hidden costs of streaming with a free service. One of the big hidden costs is customer service. In my mind, that's most of what you're paying for when you're paying for streaming, is you're paying for someone who can talk to you and go, oh, well, that makes sense, as opposed to a Python script or a help file that just doesn't know how to interact with the person. So I'm fighting a battle right now with YouTube, in that it's not YouTube, it's some third party says that I don't have permission to do something that I have explicit written permission predating their agreement to do. So with churchstreaming.tv, I can drop them a line and they go, oh, okay. With YouTube, I can't do that. You see why it's worth paying for a little something anytime that you can interact with a person when you have a problem. That's, in my mind, worth a little extra money. So head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/churchstreaming and give them a try. I think that you'll be happy that you did. So let's talk about email newsletters. Now, It's common knowledge in the email marketing, well, internet marketing kind of area, that email newsletters are just the way to go about things. That's how you can really connect with your audience. And I think that the church, by and large, has missed this as an opportunity. Now, I've talked about that before on this particular show, so I'm not going to rehash why you should do it. Go back to previous episodes if you're curious about what to do that, why you should do that. But I have seen a lot of mistakes, and I've made most of them, so that's why I'm telling you about them. And so I just, before the show, I created a little list of mistakes, and so I thought that I would share those mistakes with you so that you can avoid making the mistakes that primarily I've made. So number one is not having an email newsletter or not using an email newsletter service. I was actually talking to my wife on Friday about this because the business that she works for, they're having difficulty getting sales in. And one of their primary ways of getting leads is email blasts. But they don't have an email newsletter list. They just find as many emails as they can, and they just, from their regular email, they just blind carbon copy everyone and send out the same message. No, not useful at all. What they need to be doing is building an email list and providing quality content. We'll talk about that later. And using one of these services, because quite likely a lot of their emails aren't even getting through because Google or whoever is the email service provider looks at that and says, oh, there's a bunch of blind carbon copies in this. Clearly this is spam. Whereas if you use an email newsletter service like MailChimp, Constant Contact, AWeber, those kinds of services. And by the way, MailChimp, you can start off for free for a couple of thousand people on your list. So I'm not to that threshold yet. So my MailChimp account is free to me. And that's something that I would recommend all churches start out with, since most churches have less than 1,000 members. You can get this going for free and reduce your postage cost, reduce a lot of the problems that you're having, and just do this via email. Number two, not emailing often enough or emailing apologetically. Now let me talk about what that is. A lot of people kind of feel this guilt for having an email newsletter. And so what they do is they will do things like not send out very regular newsletters. I send mine out once a month. It's Monday. I send it out at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific, so that basically if you are in the U.S., chances are one of the first emails you read on Monday morning could be mine. And I've tested those times just to see what's the best, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I'm so sorry that I've skipped a week, or I'm so sorry to bug you again, or excuse me, may I please be in your email list inbox? I know that you've given me permission before, but that's really annoying. And if, like, it needs to be a habit. So pick a day. We'll talk about testing later, but pick a day and try and do it at that same day and time every week. I don't want you to do it once and then 6 months later do it again, because people will forget that they subscribe to your email newsletter. So that's really not all that helpful. And in what I've heard is, in testing, a lot of people have found that they don't get a higher unsubscribe rate the more often that they send these things out. So they send once a month out, about 2% of people unsubscribe. If they send them out once a week, about 2% of people unsubscribe. So the percentage doesn't change based on how often you send them up to a certain point. And we'll talk about that later. I've said that a lot. Anyway, so the other end of the spectrum is emailing too often. There was a list that I was a part of that had some good information, and he went from weekly to daily. And I thought, well, that seems like a bit of a jump, but that's okay. Until daily became twice a day. So I was getting emails from this guy, like, when I would wake up, and then midway through the day. And I hadn't signed up for that. I'd signed up for once a week. So even though there was good information, he didn't write, like, sentence-long emails. They were, like, 1,000 words, 2,000 words. I mean, a good lengthy thing. I don't know how he wrote this quickly. And so I just couldn't read all of that email, so I just unsubscribed from him because it was just too much. I thought about unsubscribing when it went daily, but when it was twice a day, then I knew I was going to unsubscribe, and that's what I did. So you can send too many. Weekly is probably a good time. Monthly is probably a good time. Even a couple of times a week is fine. But when you're doing more than daily, unless people have signed up for that, by the way, when you're creating your email newsletter, if you make it clear that this is a daily thing, that's something totally different. So when I was in college, when the internet had just really started to catch on, there was like a daily top 10 list. Well, I knew it was daily. I expected to get that every day, and eventually it petered out to nothing. But before that time, I kind of looked forward to it. It was a top 10 list, so it was short, and I think that's worth doing. But if I'd signed up for the weekly top 10 list and I started getting them daily, I might have just said, yeah, that's too much, because my expectation was that I would not have that many emails. Number four, being too sales-oriented / not giving enough value. Let me explain this, because this show is for churches, so a lot of churches might be thinking, well, we're not trying to sell anything. Oh, really? Are you trying to sell attendance in your church? And by sell, I don't mean get people to give you money. I mean, every single email, do you say, hey, by the way, you should come to our church? Hey, did we mention you should come to our church? Or, we've got a great kids program. They would love to come to our church. Depending on your audience and when you create your list, you can choose who the audience is for. If it's for the people that go to your church, you don't need to remind them to go to your church as often as if it's people that have never been to your church. But if it's people that have never been to your church, you must provide a lot more value other than, hey, come to the church. Hey, we've got a great church. We're the loving church. Did we mention we like people? That all may be true, but what I want you to do is I want you to think, how can I give, and occasionally remind them of what we offer as well? So back to the example of where my wife works. They do document storage. They're actually in a large underground facility. Used to be a limestone mine. So they also do document storage and scanning. So their temptation might be to send out weekly things that say, hey, we've got a special on storage this month. Don't forget that. Hey, don't forget about our scan on demand service where we'll store all your stuff, and when you find that you actually need it, you just tell us and we'll scan it and send you the links, etc. They could do that. They won't get as much engagement as if once a week they send out, okay, this is another problem that we've seen our customers have it that we can help you solve. And not in a salesy way, but just like a tips and tricks kind of way. Like a, for long range storage, consider using a offsite facility and not mention you specifically. Or here's a deal that some of our customers are taking advantage of from a third party on document storage boxes. Or, you know, just think of something that would be helpful to them that doesn't necessarily make you money. Because after a while, if you are so helpful that they feel gratitude towards you, they're going to start thinking things like, you know, I really ought to give them a try. They've been so helpful to me. That's what you want. So in the church, you could have like a parenting newsletter that week in and week out gives parenting tips. Hey, how to deal with a strong-willed child, how to deal with a child that won't do their homework, etc., etc. And then once a month, once every 2 months, you might mention a really fun kids program at your church. You see how that works? You've given them a lot, and they should be grateful and eventually say, huh, we ought to give that place a try. That's what you want to do. You don't want people to have the feeling of, ah, man, they're just so annoying. They have like one helpful tip that's, I don't want to unsubscribe because of that one nugget of gold, but I have to dig through all this sales junk to get to it. No, that's a mistake. Number five, using a PDF of your print newsletter. This is a huge no-no. The computer screen, the smartphone screen, those are a totally different medium than a piece of paper. Totally different. If you don't believe me, connect a battery to the piece of paper and see what it does. Probably nothing. It might burst into flame depending on what kind of battery. That's totally different. Now, disconnect your device from all batteries. So if it's a smartphone that you can remove the battery, remove the battery. See how that works for you. See? Totally different. So they should be formatted different. People fall in love with the formatting of their paper newsletter, and so they will upload a PDF because it looks just like it, but that's an extra step, and it's more difficult to read on a screen than if you just format it specifically for the medium. You can do some HTML work, by the way, so that it looks more like a print newsletter. But I wouldn't have, like, a header with a column on each side, about our writers, all that stuff. No, keep it minimal. Keep the design clean. But absolutely do not use PDFs as your email newsletter. That's a huge mistake, and you will get fewer people engaged with those things. Number six, not getting people's permission to be on your list or buying a list. I mentioned this earlier, that the company my wife works for, they just whenever they get someone's email, they add them to the list. That's called spamming, and that's not what anyone wants to do. They don't want to be a part of that, and you really don't want to be a spammer. That puts you in the same boat as the people that are selling Viagra ads. Hey, natural Viagra only 50 cents a pill, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, don't. No, bad. What you want to do is use an email service, as I mentioned earlier, and it will have a double opt-in. What that means is the person will give their email address, and then they will have to confirm that their email actually works. So they're giving permission twice. That's much more likely that they will remember giving permission because they did it twice. If you buy a list, it could be that half those emails aren't any good, and the other half you're probably going to annoy the people. So it's really a waste of money. You need to build your list by providing a good reason for them to subscribe. Providing a free report on how to help a depressed teenager. Provide a list of 10 great family activities. Give them a reason to subscribe, because their email address is worth something. It's worth something to them. And build your list from there. Next, people often forget to test the best times to send these things and the best subject lines. This is a story from my own experience. I thought that the best subject line would be something witty that had something to do with what the content was. So I did an A-B test where I sent 50% of the emails with a witty subject line and 50% of the emails with the very boring this week's newsletter from TrinityDigitalMedia.com for the week of March 10th, 2014. That's when I'm recording this. March 10th, 2014. I thought for sure the witty one was going to win hands down. Boy, was I wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. When I tested it out, people just wanted to know, hey, it's a newsletter. Hey, it's from Paul. And hey, it's this week's. It's not last week's. It's not next month. I know which one is which. Who knew? Well, I guess the people that were reading it knew. So testing really matters. I did the same thing with times and days, and it seems like I get the best response on Mondays at 9 a.m. Eastern. I don't know why, but it seems to work for me. So test that and see what information you get. Number 8. Earlier I said that not emailing often enough was a problem. Well, this is similar, but not exactly the same. Not emailing regularly enough. What I mean by that is you can have a problem where you, while you email about weekly or about monthly, sometimes it's not that often, sometimes it's more often. It goes back and forth. Sometimes you'll forget about it for 6 months. Sometimes you'll go back to it. So regularity matters, because remember, we're trying to get people to remember us, expect the information from us, even look forward to it. So regularity helps. That's why I do these shows every Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. If it wasn't for the annoying time change, it would always be either 3 p.m. UTC or 4 p.m., depending on the time of the year. I really wish there wasn't this time change. Can you tell that? If it wasn't for that, it would always be the same time. Regularity. I would always get the replay up the same day. That's my goal. Regularity. That's why I do this, is so that people can grow to depend on it. I think this is the big mistake. I know that making television shows is difficult, but I think it's a big mistake that television companies make in having seasons with long breaks in between them, with having reruns. I think I would want people to get in the habit of watching my show and not have any excuse to break that habit. In fact, I would, if it was a good enough show, they might cancel some of their own other plans to get to it. That's what you want. So, taking a week off for this or a week off for that, no, that's a big mistake. That's why I do these so regularly. And you should do that with your email newsletter. Is regularity is the key. Number 9, never cleaning the list. There is an email address that I need to clean off my list. Since the beginning of the year, I've gotten a response back. And I told you these were mistakes I'd made. That this email list has expired. What I expect is actually going on is the person has left the church and they were using their church email address. And so it's not that it's set to forward automatically to the new place. It's that the email, it's just going nowhere. Now, if you're paying for your list, let's say over time you've built up 10,000 names on the list. You do not want people that aren't reading your list, aren't reading your newsletter, that people that aren't really involved in what you're doing, you don't want any of them on your list. I know it was hard work getting them there, but if they're not going to ever read it, it doesn't help you and it doesn't help them. So just clean up the list. So that's something that I think that I would do immediately. In fact, probably as soon as the show's over, I'm going to get rid of that email address from my list to clean it up just a bit. And number 10 is expecting 100% engagement. If things work well, you're likely to get 10 to 20% engagement. I'm sorry, I wish it was better. It's kind of like tithing. If things go well, you're likely to get 20% tithing in your church. If it's a really, really, if your church is really into it, you might get more. If you get more, that's great. But don't have the thought, well, I've got 1,000 people on my list. If 1,000 people read it and 1,000 people do what I tell them to, and no, that's not going to happen. I'm sorry. I wish it was, because I've got a little over 1,000 on my list, which it's still a small list, by the way. I know a lot of churches, you don't have 1,000 people in your congregation, but you can't imagine that everyone is going to do anything. That's just the way that it is. There's the 80-20 rule that's in effect. 80% of the people do 20% of whatever, and 20% of the people do 80% of whatever. It just seems to always be like that. And I don't know the whys, I just know that it seems like it always is that way. So what I want you to do is not expect that you're going to get crazy engagement, crazy numbers. Just be realistic, because if you're realistic, you're much more likely to think, oh, I'm not failing miserably when 20% of the people read my email address, email list. That's what I should be expecting. So those are the 10 things that I think people are making the mistake of doing. Just to recap, not having an email list or not using a service is one. Number 2, not emailing often enough or emailing apologetically. Number 3, emailing too often, daily or more than daily is probably too often. Number 4, being too sales oriented and not giving people anything valuable. Number 5, using a PDF of your print newsletter. Number 6, not getting people's permission to be on your list or buying a list. Number 7, not testing the best times and subject lines. Number 8, not being regular enough. Number 9, never cleaning the list. And number 10, expecting 100% engagement. So I hope that that will help you in your efforts to reach out to people this week. So I'd love to hear how that works for you. I'd love for you to just do your best. Do your best to go out and change eternity. Until next time, I'm Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com.